Next, we'll hear a symphony entitled Lake Voices by Margaret Brower, who was born in 1940 in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Also a trained violinist, she holds a doctorate in composition from Indiana University. From 1992 to 1997, she was composer in residence for the Roanoke Symphony Orchestra and is currently head of the composition department at the Cleveland Institute of Music. Here is what Brower has written about Lake Voices. Walking near the lake, there seemed to be mysterious messages in the wind about the wonder of water and its eternal necessity to sustain life, about the lake's infinite, timeless energy, its sparkling beauty, its calmness, its uncontrollable wildness, its pleasure for people with images of water and sun, boats, shores filled with sunbathers, as well as an awareness of the trash along the shore, the pollution in the water and in the air above it. This work is a reaction to these various voices from the lake. Ringing bells are a continuous presence. Sometimes bell-like instruments ring in the percussion section. Even more often, the brass section or the entire orchestra play the melodies of ringing bells. Perhaps they are ringing to praise the beauty of the lake, and perhaps to toll the alarm, to toll the warning, to call people to action. I had the opportunity to speak to Dr. Brower about this piece and her composing philosophy. Let's listen. Hello, Margaret Brower.
Hello.
Thank you for coming to talk to us today.
Well, you're welcome. I'm looking forward to it.
As you know, we're going to be playing Symphony No. 1, Lake Voices, which I believe you wrote in 1998.
That's right.
And can you just tell us how you came to write this piece?
Well, it was actually a commission. I mean, that was the original impetus, I guess. It was commissioned by the Akron Symphony, but it was actually the Akron Symphony had teamed up with two other orchestras, the Wichita Symphony in Long Beach, and the funds for it came from several sources, the Knight Foundation and the Ford Foundation and the NEA, too. And all the orchestras didn't have to play it, just the one that commissioned it, which was the Akron Symphony here in Ohio. But actually, all three orchestras did end up, all of the orchestras ended up playing it. So that was what started it. But I think actually the mood of the piece was very much influenced by the fact that I had recently, before that, moved to Cleveland, Ohio. And I know that may not seem all that romantic, but I grew up in the Midwest, and in the Great Lakes area. I grew up near Lake Michigan, and coming back to Cleveland, being near Lake Erie, which is another one of the Great Lakes, I think just somehow had a special significance for me. I'm of Dutch background. I was actually my great grandparents who came over to this country, but up until my generation, the Dutch family stayed very much to themselves in the Holland Grand Rapids area in Michigan. It's a real Dutch area there. And maybe it's the Dutch in me. I don't know. The water's very important to me, being near a lake. And it had been a long time since I'd lived near water. So, I realized that this was influencing the piece after I was actually about halfway through the piece. I started this piece, which you'll hear, starts with a very long melody, first in the oboe and then in the flute, and then it just kind of evolves from there. And somewhere along in that first part, I began to realize that there was something of the lake in it. And so I didn't start out to write a piece about the lake, but it was in my mind all the time, being near the lake again.
That's interesting, because when I hear the beginning, I thought, I think that's a crane over the water or something like that.
You know, that it's so interesting. I never thought of that, even when it was being rehearsed. And then after the first concert, several people said to me, well, I heard that loon. I think it says loon. It's
right.
The beginning of the piece.
Yeah.
And I said, what? And then I realized, well, maybe it does sound a little bit like a loon. I don't know, but it was just a melody, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I do think it has a lot of sparkle to it, and sort of the qualities that are in the lake to me, the the timeless energy and the calmness and also the wildness, you know, depending on the day and the weather and those sort of things. And then the middle section, actually, there's this melody that comes in the middle section, which even when I was writing it, I realized what it was, because I think by that time I'd realized that this was sort of a documentary piece about my childhood or something,
oh.
Because it had the lake, and then it has bells ringing, and there was the Dutch Reformed Church is very important in the Dutch communities, at least where I grew up, and there's a way that the people have of singing the hymns with so much gusto and fervor that it's very kind of earthy but beautiful, you know, and
yeah.
And I think I was thinking of that in that melody. You can see whether you think that there's a, it starts in the violas, this melody that kind of goes through the whole middle section of the piece.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's even hinted at a little bit in the rest of the piece, in the beginning and the last part too. And then the last part is just, you know, I love rhythms. As I know you probably know, in a lot of my music, I really get into rhythms and sometimes changing meter or just, in this particular piece, it's just sort of a motor rhythm that just gets started and doesn't stop. And that's what the last part of the piece is all about.
Right. So it sounds like you didn't start with a programmatic idea, but things crept into it as you were working.
Yeah.
And the parameters of the commission were just to write a piece of a certain length?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And that's all it was. But, you know, of course, they tell you basically the size orchestra to write for and how many horns and trumpets mm-hmm. and so forth. But
yeah, you love the horns, I noticed, in this.
Yes,
they have a predominant
I do love
horn writing.
Yeah.
Do you usually like to take inspiration from a place or from a person? I know you have the orchestral piece Remembrances, which is also a beautiful piece, which I will play some other day.
Oh, yeah. Actually, more often than not, and actually with this piece too, I start with a musical idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was basically that melody and everything grew from that, you know.
Right.
I start with a musical idea, but I do find that a piece very much takes on a personality to me, you know. I think it just grows out of the musical material, and of course the musical material that one picks, even though it's deep in the unconscious, I think you pick whatever it is that's on your mind, you know, the music that will show that. But I usually just, I start with a musical idea, and then I just let that idea evolve and grow and develop. And I try to very much to stay true to that idea if I like it, you know. And of course, if I don't like it, I don't write the piece. I pick a different idea. But so somewhere as I get into the piece, this idea is developing its own, it becomes like a person. It's developing its own personality and its mm-hmm. own depth. And then, really, the rest of the piece is just a matter of being true to that and letting that develop. But by that time, too, I'm beginning to get my ideas about what it's all about, you know.
Right.
Is in this piece, somewhere in there, as I was getting back a third into it or so, I was thinking, well, you know, this piece is, sort of reminds me of the lake, and that's true for so many of my pieces that I think, well, yeah, I guess this is what this is about, and then I
yes.
from that I come up with the name and the program notes and so forth. So hardly ever have I written a piece where I said I'm going to write a piece about thus and such. I know a lot of composers do that,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's wonderful, but for some reason it doesn't work for me. It always seems to be very stilted when I'm trying to make something sound like something,
right.
You know?
Yes, so it grows from the musical material.
Right.
Your music is very accessible. How would you describe your relationship to tonality?
Oh, well, I don't think of my music as tonal. I know some people say that. I guess it depends on how you define tonality. As a general rule, anyway, I'm not following the rules of tonal progressions, you know, common practice harmony by any means. I guess it sounds tonal because I do use a lot of consonant intervals.
I was going to say that it isn't highly dissonant. I mean, you use dissonance for effect, but it's not.
Yeah.
It is very lyrical, and it's has tonal features. I'm sure you were going to school in the 60s or so when things were very different.
Yeah,
and
when things were very
did you
dissonant.
Go through a phase when you were doing the serial music?
I tried some dissonant things. I mean, some serial things, but I don't remember whether I ever actually completed a piece. That form of writing with so much formula already made up doesn't work for me very well. I do use some formula in my music. I use quite a bit of formula occasionally, but I also like to be free to, if something feels like it needs to go to a certain place, to do that. But I think I'm very interested in the overtone series, and a lot of my music is built. That's why there's a lot of fifths and thirds and things like that. It's a lot of fifths in my music because I'm thinking, and I like music that rings and that really has a glow to it. And I think you do have to observe, to get that. It helps if you observe the overtone series, and so it does sound tonal some of the time because of that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But you never felt a great pressure to do the ultra modern or second Viennese school of dissonance.
I did feel some pressure, yeah. I mean, it's really hard.
But you resisted it.
Not to feel pressure like that. Well, I tried to create I've never really been one to be in a certain school, and I did sort of try to create my own sound, which I hoped, I still do hope, is new and doesn't sound like other people. Of course, that's getting harder and harder to do because there's so many composers out there,
well,
in so many ways. But I mean, I guess yes, I did feel pressure. In fact, it seemed like it was very avant-garde to do something that wasn't really dissonant. You know,
right?
That's not really true anymore.
Uh huh.
But it certainly did for quite a while.
Yes. Well, I think you very much have your original style, and let's listen to this beautiful, ringing, shimmering piece right now. And we thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
Okay, right. Thank you for inviting me.
Right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Now let's listen to Symphony No. 1, Lake Voices, performed by the Akron Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Tanya Leon.